So my name is Sean Lucan. I'm a family physician in the Bronx. Pretty much all of my patients are overweight or obese and suffer from a variety of diet-related chronic diseases, which is very frustrating from the provider standpoint. And they have, you know, a lot of structural and environmental barriers to eating better. I have nothing to disclose other than the fact that I think that the food environment matters a lot. And the slide that I like to show when I talk to physician audiences is this one by Tom Frieden at the CDC. And so at the top of this, and right here, you know, so here's us as physicians counseling and delivering clinical intervention. And what this graphic illustrates is that that takes a lot of effort, right? So a lot of effort on my part, a lot of effort on the part of the patients. If we're successful, and most of the time we're not, we benefit at best one patient at most, and so there isn't a great population impact. So, you know, people in a public health crowd generally understand better that social determinants are much more important, and that environmental factors, the context in which people make dietary decisions probably matter a lot. And so certainly, I'm not the only one that thinks that, or Tom Frieden. This is another graph that I like to show. This is from Sharon Kirkpatrick, Jill Reedy, and Robin McKinnon at the National Cancer Institute. And it's getting to be an older slide now, but what it shows is just this exploding kind of exponential interest in food environment research just in the last decade. And so it stops at 2010 here, but this is just off the charts now. So people are very interested in looking at the food environment, the context in which people make dietary decisions, and how we can modify environments to help people eat better, to help patients eat better. But another slide from that same group shows that really, you know, the main focus in all the literature is on this, so food stores and restaurants. So there's some attention in schools, much less on other parts of our food system. But no one's really talking about this, well, with the exception of my co-presenters and, you know, a handful of studies in the literature, and I think that's great, because I think we should be talking about farmers markets. But what I haven't seen, you know, at least published anywhere, is what's going on in these markets? Where are they? What are they selling? What's the potential impact on community nutrition and health? So that was the objective of my study. So I wanted to say, you know, where are these markets? And I wanted to assess them and see what they're selling. So I wanted to look at accessibility, and I wanted to look at availability, price, and quality of the products being sold there. And then the general belief is that, you know, farmers markets are a mechanism to deliver whole, fresh produce and improve nutrition in lower-income communities. And so I wanted to, you know, look at farmers markets in the context of the overall food environment and specifically compare them to the nearest store selling produce within a half mile and say, you know, how do they compare? What's the benefit? What's the additional contribution this is making to the community? Is this too loud now? I feel like I'm shouting. People okay? All right. I feel like I'm at a wedding. All right, so no embarrassing stories about the groom this time. So identifying markets actually turned out not to be that easy. So it turns out there's no, like, single directory that tells you where these things are. So this is just a group, Grow NYC, in New York City. Here's the map of the Bronx. This is Manhattan. This is the Hudson River, which is now really part of Manhattan, if you've been watching the news. And then this is where I live in New Jersey over here, which is also mostly underwater. But what this shows is that this is just about 8, I think, farmers markets locations throughout the Bronx. And these are farmers markets that are sponsored by this particular nonprofit group. But this is not a complete list at all. And in fact, we couldn't find any organization that had a complete directory or compendium of farmers markets, and so what we do is visit the markets, ask people if they knew of other markets, ask of other agencies that were looking at markets. The State Department of Agriculture and Markets had the most complete list, but even their list was missing 3 of the markets that we found in the Bronx. So it was a challenge just identifying where these things were, and then, you know, our method was to go out and visit the markets, talk to the vendors, take a detailed inventory of everything they were selling, and then compare that to the store selling produce within the nearest half mile. So that's it, pretty simple. People get the methods? Questions about the methods? All right. So let's just jump right into the results, because I think that's the most interesting. So again, we looked at accessibility, availability, quality, and price. So accessibility. So there are interesting. Weird format, I changed it. So there were 26 farmers markets that we identified. 10 minutes? 26 farmers markets that we identified across 42 square miles of the Bronx. So there's about one farmers market for every 2 square miles. Now these are a very seasonal phenomenon, right? So predominantly they're only open July through November, so about 4 months out of the year, or a third of the year. A few go a little bit later, some start a little bit earlier, but predominantly July through November. All of the farmers markets, except one, are only open one day a week, and only for a limited number of hours, and usually only during the working hours, or during business hours. So, in terms of lower-income communities that might be struggling and have a job and, not have the opportunity to get out during the workday to shop for groceries, this might not be the best option for them. The other thing that we noted was that in at least two cases, when I sent students out to find these markets, they weren't there when they said they were going to be. So they're not even, so not only do they have restricted hours and not a lot of the accessibility, but they don't even tend to be very reliable, or at least in a couple of instances. What I thought was most interesting was that all of our markets were within a half mile of at least one store selling produce, so either a supermarket or another produce store. And I thought that was very surprising. And compared to the stores, so the stores are open year-round, all of them are open 7 days a week, they have an average of 100 hours a week of service, and they're open at times when people can get there. So in terms of accessibility or being a place where people can get fresh produce, the stores seem to clearly win out. Now in terms of availability, so farmers markets offered about half the kinds of produce as nearby stores. Now I should qualify that. So here, it's always an issue comparing apples to apples, right? So that's what we actually wanted to do, compare apples to apples. So, at the farmers markets, you can get Mutsu and Jonah Gold and Roma and Royal Gala and, apples you've never heard of. And at the stores, it's usually just Red Delicious, maybe some Granny Smith. But if we just call, an apple is an apple and compare apples to apples, then, the farmers markets actually had less variety, less kinds of produce than the stores, or about half as much variety. Another thing I thought was interesting was that 50% of the farm stands tailored their foods to the neighborhood. So a lot of the farmers actually have farm stands in Manhattan, in New Jersey, in other Upper Westchester County, other wealthy communities, and they take different inventory to those farm stands. So in the Bronx, they generally took, common herbs and other more kind of Bengal fruits and vegetables, whereas in the other communities, they were taking more high-end stuff, heirloom vegetables and things like that. What was a surprise to me were the next few points. So farmers markets, it turns out, everyone thinks of them as sources of fresh fruits and vegetables, but they really sell a lot of other stuff. And some of that stuff is really like high sugar, highly processed, prepared, packaged garbage, for lack of a better word. And so not only do they sell that stuff, but in a lot of cases, that's like the high profit margin stuff and what they're encouraging people to buy. So in 15% of the farm stands, the items they were promoting were the donuts, the ciders, the juices, so not the whole fresh, unprocessed produce. And at 30% of the farm stands, those were the best-selling items. So things like muffins and cookies and pies. So just to give you an example, or just to give you a better understanding of what that looked like. So here's a distribution of all the foods sold at the farmers markets. So yes, predominantly vegetables and some fresh fruits as well. And there's this little category here that I just call other whole foods. So those are things like eggs and cheeses and whole grain products. But then you got this big slice right here, so almost a quarter of all the inventory is this highly processed, refined, often prepackaged stuff. So jams, jellies, cakes, cookies, muffins, pastries, croissants, honey. So stuff that, arguably isn't that good or what we wouldn't want to be promoting for good nutrition and health. And in some markets, that accounted for as much as 50% of the total inventory. So it was like a quarter on average, but some markets that was half. And this is what it looks like, right? So you go to the market and this is what you see. So, big sign for pies, you got your ciders here, and your other juices. These are some sugar-sweetened beverages that are artificially colored. They're not even made with anything from the farm. Here you got some kind of, moon pies or whatever on your environmentally friendly styrofoam. And then you've got, you know, carrot cakes, nut breads, all kinds of these, you know, just sweet baked goods. Then, you know, you got some bacon and ham and I think some kind of farm cheese and other kinds of stuff. I think for those of you in the back, I think this says pies, large or small, brownies, scones, croissants, cookies, and the anxious consumer whipping out her payment method of choice. So that's the availability thing, right? So the bottom line is they sell a lot of stuff other than whole fresh produce, and that's what they're tend to be promoting and what tends to be the best sellers. Now in terms of quality, so I mean we didn't measure quality in a very rigorous way, we just kind of used kind of proxy measures. Here the farmers markets clearly won out. So all of, you know, almost all of the produce at farmers markets was grown directly on a local farm, usually from New York, sometimes from Pennsylvania or New Jersey. Whereas, you know, in the stores it was coming from, nothing against California, but if you're in New Jersey, you know, it's transcontinental. Sometimes it's coming across the globe from New Zealand or, you know, Argentina, Peru. In terms of percent organic, so things tended to be a little more organic at farmers markets. Some people look at that as a measure of quality. And certainly things were fresher, or, you know, they were less time since the time the fruit, it appeared at the market with less time since it was picked at the farmers market. So if you use those things for quality, the farmers market certainly won out. But, you know, you pay for that quality. So here's just an example. So the thing that's tricky about looking at price, so I'm not an economist, and this was like my first kind of entry into doing this. The thing is that things are sold by different quantities or different units, right? So beets was a good example. So in some places beets were sold each or individually. In some places they were sold by the bunch. Some places they were sold by the pound. Some places they were sold by volume, by like a quart of beets or something. So, you know, in order to compare beets to beets, you want to look not only at the item, but also at how it's being sold and what the unit is. So, you know, these are just some example items. But the bottom line is that, you know, if you take a bunch of cilantro, pretty consistently it was much cheaper at the stores, right? So you can see the price difference. This is the mean, and this is the range. Mean and the range. So much cheaper at the stores. Zucchini, this is just an example of a fruit or vegetable that was sold by the pound. So again, you know, cheaper at the stores. Strawberries by the pint, again, cheaper at the stores. You know, so again, some of these are not organic, some of these are not, you know, locally grown and that kind of thing. But if we're just, you know, looking at fruits and vegetables as, you know, a strawberry is a strawberry, you're going to pay a premium for it at the farmer's market. So strength of study. So, you know, we looked at all farmers markets in the Bronx, so not just the subsection, but looked at kind of the universe and everything that was out there. I compared it, you know, to something in the retail or storefront landscape, looking at the stores, considering accessibility, price, availability, and quality, and we did a detailed evaluation. So that's all good. Now the limitations, of course, is that this is cross-sectional. We only looked at each place once. And so prices and quality are going to vary, inventory is going to vary. You would expect that. Generalizability is definitely an issue, so I went to a session before in this very room, and I was told that in Portland, all the farmers markets only sell fruits and vegetables. Or at least that was the impression of the presenter. So, you know, I don't know if this is true in other communities or what other farmers markets are like. It kind of leads us to the question, how do you define a farmers market and what is that? But so in many communities, maybe there isn't such a predominance of you know, processed for buying sugary treats being sold. And then the other thing is that we only measured what was available, not what was purchased or consumed, although we did talk to some customers, and that's future work that I'll be presenting at some other time. So the conclusion, I'm just going to read this. So while farmers markets are widely believed to be a source of produce in low-income communities, they actually sell and promote lots of other items less optimal for good nutrition and health, and carry more expensive, less varied produce in neighborhoods that already have stores with better hours. So maybe not the solution to the, you know, kind of the food desert or food access or food challenges for my patients, at least in the Bronx. So our next step is, you know, we want to look at do a more detailed economic analysis and think how like assistance programs might play into the cost differences. Again, the cost thing is a little complicated, and I might need some economists to help with that. But anyway, these are just some people I wanted to thank. These are two students who were supposed to present with me today, but couldn't make it out due to flight situations. My email is here, and I'm happy to talk. And I would encourage you, if you have any questions, to ask them now. Because this is the second APHA where there's been a natural disaster, leaving my wife without power with a screaming little one, and I don't think she's going to let me come to APHA again. So that was your opportunity.
That's a good point. So actually,
The half mile was somewhat arbitrary. So we used half mile as the buffer to say stores within. Actually, the stores that we looked at generally, so I haven't done the formal geographic analysis, we will do. They actually wound up being much closer. So it was the closest store within a half mile. But there usually were many stores within a half mile. The closest one was often, just a couple blocks away. I agree with you, a half mile is too far. Most of the literature, I think, supports more like a quarter mile, especially for pedestrian neighborhoods. All of this is kind of hand-waving. I mean, there isn't really good data to support any of it. But the point is that, there are sources nearby, approximately. The back loop, sorry.
I know you have your next page is going to be the consumer part. Can you just give us a sense, though, anecdotally, of are these markets valuing
I haven't looked formally at the data, but what my students told me is that the people buying at the farmers markets were qualitatively different from the people buying at the store. So we looked at age, gender, race, weight status, just based on observation, and just the types of people shopping at the different places. And so I think they're reaching different groups, different demographic groups. And so the people stopping at the store are one where I think we're more sensitive to price and more economically challenged and on the lower income scale, even within these neighborhoods. And the people going to the markets tended to be a little bit better off, a little more affluent, have a little more money to spend. And so I think they may be valued in the community, but not necessarily reaching the people who are most challenged and that probably would benefit the most from improving their diets. I'm sorry, yeah, so the market, so a market is just kind of the NIDIS, is kind of the global area, I'm not describing this well. Within each market, there are multiple farm stands, okay? So multiple, within a single market, there may be up to, I think there were 10 at the biggest one. So different farmers will come and set up their stands within a single area. So there were 26 markets, and there were 63 stands within those markets. That's a good question. Sorry, I wasn't clear on that. Yeah.
Hi. I have a comment and question. So I actually work in Brooklyn, and I've heard you speak at the Bronx office about green card work, and I applaud what you're doing for students out there. Comment would be, I think that the city of New York actually does have a map that shows all the markets.
Does have a map. So
when
we looked at the Health Bucks map,
yeah,
when we did this, which was two summers ago, or not last summer, but the one before, and it was not inclusive. So there were, but it might be inclusive now, that's good to know.
Last year it was not. This market season is 2012.
Yeah.
And
that's great.
All markets.
Yeah.
I know it's hard because there are a lot of different market operators, throwing markets being the largest ones. But anyway, we can talk offline about it.
Yeah.
My question was, when you did your assessment or your student planning into the observation, did you make note of other
value of the markets? And that was the thing that I wanted to look at further when we do our economic analysis, because that's really important, right? So the Health Bucks program and some of the other assistance programs only apply at the markets, right? So when you're doing a comparison of the price between market and store, you have to include those things in and consider that. And then, you know, the markets have lots of other benefits to the community too, not just in terms of nutrition, but in terms of people getting out and you know, socializing and building social capital and those kinds of things. So, you know, let this count. I mean, I think markets are great. I think mobile food in general is a wonderful thing, and that's something that I've been continuing to research and explore and promote. I just think that we have a ways to go, and there's some limitations here. Have time for more? 30 seconds. I'm going to go with
purple shirt.
Purple shirt. Thank you. Well, that color that's got it purple. Yeah, that would be huge. If you can convince a Trader Joe to come to the Bronx, you would have done better than I would. So people look. I mean, Trader Joe's just hasn't expressed interest in coming to the Bronx. People looked into trying to get them to come there. We've had some other large grocery chains looking into it, like Fresh Direct is a kind of, I don't know if it's national, but it's an ordering chain. Supermarket, and they've been looking into coming into the Bronx, and that's been kind of controversial. But you know, there aren't a lot of supermarkets interested in coming into the Bronx. Quite frankly, in Manhattan, there's a customer base to support it. In the Bronx, you know, it's a little bit more of a difficult argument to make. I mean, I think it would probably do well, but you know, I'm not, like I said, I'm not an economist, and I haven't like run the models to see how it would work, and I don't know that I could give a convincing argument to a developer. They could, although, so I've had my car break down in the Bronx and had to get home by taking like a train and a bus. And then, I mean, it's a pretty big inconvenience to have to go into Manhattan to get your groceries. I mean, that's not a direct, you know, it's the next borough, but I mean, it could be as much as like an hour and a half investment each way. Thanks a lot.